New card. What do you think?
Get over here!
Hadouken!
That man is playing Galaga.
I understood that reference.
You shall not pass!
So say we all.
So say we all.
Run with me.
It's adamantium tasting time, boys.
Well, make it so, number one.
All wings report in.
Welcome to your weekly interval. This is the Best Damn Nerd Show. I'm your host, Microphone Alchemist James Kincaid. With me tonight, Hall of Fame cyber athlete Jonathan Craig.
I just want to release a public apology for the way my microphone sounded last week. And look, I know this is a pattern. I know, you know, in terms of my appearance, it's like one out of every 10 episodes. But I promise I'm getting a handle on it. Give me a break.
Dude. And, you know, of the cast, this motley crew of people in the Best Damn Nerd Show, of all the people that have mic issues, too, dude.
Hey, all right. Wow. All right, let's open the fourth wall a little bit. But I bought a new microphone, a USB mic. It's not the best mic, not the worst mic, but it shouldn't be making noises like that. But as soon as I plugged it in, the volume slider on my recording would, like, automatically fluctuate up and down.
Well,
so I think I fixed that.
I was able to fix a lot of it in post, you know, at least on the audio.
On the podcast.
On the podcast end,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I told you to normal. Anyway, I don't want to get too
just,
far
I just
want to
say I'm sorry, everybody. I love you all. Thank you for your patience, and we're back.
What we had a loyal listener of the show ask, what exactly is a Hall of Fame cyber athlete, John? This comes
and
from at
welcome Davis to the show.
This comes from at Aunt Felicia. She wanted to know what exactly is a Hall of Fame cyber athlete. So
what's her starting point? Does she know what a Hall of Fame is?
Yes, and I explained it, but you know, I just okay. What are your credentials, John? If we could do a refresh on what game did you go into the Hall of Fame for playing?
I was a big competitive Counter-Strike player back in my teenage years, back when it was Counter-Strike 1.6.
You're the Tom Brady of Counter-Strike.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was more like a punching bag for pro players, but hey, you know, I practiced with them at least.
John
was
a practice squad
player.
John was a foundational piece of Counter-Strike, so he was inducted first ballot as a cyber athlete. So we're very proud of him, which is why we always like to give you your plaudits. You're very modest too. Also with us tonight, sorry Davis, you having to wait a long way around the barn to get to Professor Chris Davis.
It's all right. I can just drink. We're cool.
Yeah, actually, you know what? In hindsight, that was probably a mistake by me.
We're in summer. The students are gone, so I got a lot of free time now. So
yeah, and Davis just got done binging on.
Professor's out.
Davis just got done binging on brownie mix, so he's gonna have like a sugar high, and then he's gonna crash.
Yeah, Davis is going to crash at some point during the show. But welcome back, everybody. Want to catch up, Davis? It's been a minute since we have chat, a couple weeks at least, I think. What have you been up to? What you gaming on anything new?
Yeah, you know, any sort of PS Plus free game is kind of in my repertoire these days, so that's been fun.
So Fall Guys.
Yeah, well, that was a while ago. It's been a while, so
it has. I was reminiscing about that the other day and how I got a crown and none of you guys did.
Still never did. It's very frustrating.
Hall of Fame cyber athlete didn't get a crown.
I haven't played the game since you got that crown, by the way.
I know. You killed the game for everyone else on the show.
I will
just
never play that stupid game again.
We are.
That children's game, stupid.
Yeah, right, no, yeah, so, you know, if you, I think it was an April game, Days Gone came out, so, and that is a open world zombie apocalypse survival game based in Oregon. So you're out in the wilderness, you're like a guy that was in a motorcycle gang.
Nice.
And, you know, you lost your wife, you know, she got injured during, like, the main zombie raid kind of when it first happened.
Gotta leave her behind.
You put her on a helicopter and you're kind of like trying to figure out what happened to her while also helping some camps. But, you know, it got a lot of flack when it first came out. Like, it did not do well in the ratings.
Is this Days Gone 1 or Days Gone 2?
I'm only aware of one. So
there are two. I think the second one is called like State of Decay or something. I forget.
I don't think they're related.
Okay.
Couldn't be. Days and Gone and Days Gone.
State of Decay, Days Gone. They're different titles.
All right.
I'm live fact check Davis on the fly here.
I think State of Decay has two titles, actually. But I might be wrong. I don't think they're in the same. But
I think Davis might be right, actually.
It got a lot of flack in the beginning because it just didn't get good reviews by critics. And when it got released on PS Plus, free PS Plus, it actually kind of got a resurgence because people were like, oh, actually, this game's kind of good.
Now I have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think I would have been happy with a $40 purchase on this, not a full $60. But it's, you know, it's very open. I think the story's pretty good. There's a lot of different types of missions. There's, you know, you're going between, you know, fighting against other humans, other camps, other variants out there, and or just zombies. And there's hordes, there's singular, there's also the wilderness that's, you know, there's wolves around everywhere, there's bears, there's all sorts of stuff. So it's been interesting so far. It's been fun.
Is it slower paced action, or is it like once the zombie horde comes, it's like fast?
If you're going against a horde, it's fast. Like, these aren't slow moving zombies. They run. These are running zombies. So it gets hairy pretty quick, and a lot of times you do have to hightail it out, and you can't. You don't have the ammo. It's very like you have to fill up your gas tank on your bike a lot. You have to really conserve your ammo. So there's a lot of strategy going on about how, especially when you're trying to take down a horde, about how you're going to go about that. So a lot of extras to the game. A lot, if you're like 100% game player, I think the things that you can get to 100% are a lot more interesting than a lot of games, like beating all the hordes, finding more information about this government agency that's researching where these things started or how to beat them, stuff like that. So I think it's a very good game. But
remind you of the pandemic at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Figuring out where it started.
trying to see where it all went wrong. But no, I don't know why it got so hated on at the beginning. It does suffer a little bit from some mission repetitiveness, but nothing worse than, you know, a typical game like this would, that does get high ratings a lot of times. And so I didn't really see how it got hated on that much.
How does it compare to like Left 4 Dead?
Very different gameplay. It's a
totally
third person
different type.
Yeah, third
but,
person.
But I know in terms of like just like zombie styling and everything like that, just the overall zomb feel of it and the enjoyment level.
Left 4 Dead is very more arcade-ish. This is more Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
So that's kind of the feel you're going against there. So
Before the show, we were talking about like, well, first of all, I was thinking of State of Decay, which is a totally different game. You were right. But I was thinking of it because it reminded me of like The Division and all the Ubisoft games, which have like basically clusters of quests. And in those clusters, it's like they'll have like four different quest types. And everywhere you go, you just do those different types. But then the scenery changes. Is it like that in terms of like the quest diversity, or is there like more diversity than that?
No, it's a lot more diverse than that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because it during the game, you know, you have your radio where you're talking to different camps that you're trying to help out to build up your motorcycle or credits or something like that to get out of the area because you and your partner are trying to leave. But it's like they'll call in to like ask for help, and you're like, yeah, let me guess, you need me to do something. Okay, I'll be right there. And so it's just like, yeah, I get it, you need me to come back for another mission. And it's kind of just playing at that a little bit. So it's kind of
have some fun with it.
That's cool.
Sounds now fun. You say partner, What's the romance situation in this game?
No, no, you're biker bros. You know, your biker bro gets hurt pretty.
No
actually,
judgment.
In like probably the first mission, he gets hurt, and you're trying to, like a bad penny, dude.
Your wife gets hurt. Your partner gets hurt.
Yeah. And you know, you're trying to fix him up. You're trying to help him out for a long time, and then he deals with a lot of stuff residual from that first attack. I think the character is actually pretty good. I don't know who the lead character is. I recognize him. He definitely plays in some stuff, but he's a pretty good voice and character actor, because they definitely went on the mocap stuff on him pretty well.
Now, where's the acting in mocap compared to a game like, I don't know, I'll pick one out randomly, Until Dawn? How's it compared to that?
Instant, I mean, classic. for a non-cinematic game, it holds up. I think the graphics are decent for, especially, you know, it was released a couple years ago. Open world, you know, I think it's better. I mean, it's definitely better graphics than like the Grand Theft Auto 5, or, you know, it doesn't take much to beat that.
How's it compared to Cyberpunk?
Fairly similar, because Cyberpunk just deals with a lot more, because so it kind of downgrades a little bit of the graphics there, because it had so much to do. Google timer.
Dave's brownies are ready.
Yeah, the brownies are ready.
Dinner's in the oven.
Davis's second sugar rush is about to start.
Good. I just dip your whole face in the molten sheet of brownies, Davis. That's your punishment for the timer going off.
But it's good. It was strange, because my brother got it right when it came out, and he was like, no, you should check it out. I was like, I don't know. I read a lot of bad things about it. I don't think I'm gonna. And then it came out for free, and I've been deep into it. So I've been enjoying it. So
Maybe I'll check it out. It's hard to add. It's hard to like be additive to the zombie genre, but it sounds like a fun one.
It's I like the horde aspect, and there's just some lore behind it that I like a lot, and there, especially with the, I think it's Nero, that is the scientific government research agency that is kind of dealing with everything in the background. And you're trying to work with this one agent that works with them to figure out, you know, what happened exactly with your wife, what's going on.
She's probably dead, dude. You should move on and like find some sort of sexy vagrant to romance, dude. She's probably dead.
You know,
she's found her Shane, dude. Walking Dead.
Maybe a zombie that you have chained up. I mean,
I have a theory. I haven't looked it up. There, early in the game, she is talking about how these plants have had all these changes in biology and whatnot. And
is this game happening?
And when you're going around like in missions, like, kind of following these Nero agents, listening in on them, gathering information, there's a continuous woman researcher, and I think she is going to be the wife that they recruited later on, and you're gonna actually find her. That's my hope. I want the best for my guy here. He's a good dude.
Move on, dude. This sounds you're simping for this fictitious researcher. Listen, take it from one who knows. Your Emily ain't coming through that door, dude. You just got to get as many shots up as possible.
She didn't release the virus, but she definitely has the background to where it kind of matches up with what this researcher is talking about. And so I feel like he would have recognized her voice and would have said something. Mm. So I think she's dead. I think she's probably dead, actually.
Probably dead.
There's a chance. And if it is her, it might be kind of a loophole with the voice thing.
Yeah, a plot hole.
Yeah.
I'm playing a zombie game as well, actually. It's like zombies in space. They're called husks, and they were unleashed upon us by the Reapers. It's called Mass Effect. Yes, I'm still playing.
Is that a new game?
The Legendary Edition just came out, bro. So, you know, I am now onto Mass Effect
Part 3. Define new. James doesn't play anything that was released after 2015.
This got released just weeks ago.
It got re-released.
Re-released. Still released.
It's a reboot.
It's a remaster, and I'm loving it, and I'm experiencing some things for the first time.
James loves remasters. Just look at the special edition.
I didn't have all the DLC and stuff like that, so a lot of this is a whole new world to my Shepard and everything like that going on. What a wonderful, wonderful series of games. I'm on Part 3, the much maligned Part 3, and somewhat, I would say, maybe overly so. I only played through it once, and I definitely, you know, understood the anger about Part 3. But as I'm playing through, I'm having a great time. I'm loving life right now. Davis, what say you? You looked like you had something to say.
No, I did always. I enjoyed every Mass Effect game. 3 just really turned me off on the ending. Like, I wanted more, but the gameplay, the story up until then, I really enjoyed. And it was a good series that kind of got marred by the ending. So
that we both blocked out Andromeda from our from our collective consciousness.
Did it exist?
I think I got that game confused with Halo Reach, too. Isn't that the one that was like a Halo game that was completely like Halo?
That game didn't exist either. There's 1 through 3.
I amalgamized Andromeda and Reach, thinking as like, oh yeah, Andromeda, that's like that Mass Effect game that's nothing like the other Mass Effect games.
When they
might still be. I've never seen a second of it, so I don't know.
When they start using other terms other than numbers, that's when you know it's going to get bad. You know, especially like with. If they use two numbers, like Fallout 76, that's going to be a problem.
All I know
double as bad
is that I am back with my boo-thang, Ashley Williams, sealed the deal there. So things are going pretty great
for old
Jimmy Shepard.
So, must be nice to finally get some action. That's good.
Hey, dude, this playthrough, he's been pretty much a cad. Banged that reporter, too. So things are great. She didn't even know about it. It was awesome.
Well,
anyway.
I'm sorry. Excuse me? She didn't know about the banging?
No. Ashley didn't. The reporter knew.
I was going to say that. About to get a lot of Me Too'd up in there.
No. Absolutely not. But I'm really loving the playthrough of the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. There will be a massive episode on either each game or one gigantic one about all three. So just trying to figure out how to parse that and how to best serve you, the Nerdosphere, on how much Mass Effect content we want. So honestly, I'm an eyelash away from turning this entire podcast into just a Mass Effect podcast all the time. Really, whatever serves my interest in the moment, essentially. It's going to be
pretty
a lot of pivots.
This is anyways.
A lot of pivots. And speaking of that, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk about that formerly fat fuck Kevin Smith and why he's a liar on the Best Damn Nerd Show.
Hey everyone, Chris Seglia here, CEO of the 10O Media Network. I would like to say thank you for checking out one of our podcasts, but we need your help. You can support 10O in a multitude of ways. By going to our website and checking out our latest podcasts, by buying some sweet merch, joining our Discord, or getting early and exclusive access to all content via our Patreon. Your support means the world to us, and you can find everything on our website, www.10-o.gg. That's TEN-O.gg. Thank you again. And now, back to the show.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here. And when I'm not verbally super kicking Last Jedi fans on the Best Damn Nerd Show or fantasy casting The Rock in another movie on the DLC, well, that's when I actually get to talk about wrestling. That's right. Come join me in the wrestling war room where I take my mic to the mat and launch my hot takes about the Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT. The Wrestling War Room, which side are you on?
Hey, nerd. Loremaster Tim here, and I've come with a rather indecent proposal. We want you to join in the conversation. If you aren't already a member of our Discord, what are you even doing? You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TheBDNS. And if you're crazy, odds are we'll talk about it on the show. So get kooky, and above all, let's get nerdy.
Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James Kincaid alongside John Craig and Professor Chris Davis. And it didn't take long. We reacted to the He-Man Masters of the Universe Revelation trailer. We were all, despite John Craig's misleading YouTube video title, we were all, you know, the provocateur that is John Craig. I respect you, and my hat's off goes to you for your creativity. But we were all very amped for this trailer, thought the animation for this new He-Man series looked great. I did add the caveat that, you know, perhaps there still is the other shoe to drop with the formerly Fat Man on Batman, the shill in chief himself, Kevin Smith. And it didn't take long because already he has been caught in a web of lies and just potentially ruining this series before we've even seen an episode. They took a closer look at this series. So I'm gonna play this video here on the podcast, and you don't need any of the visuals. So if you're only listening along, you won't lose anything out on this just spineless worm spinning away here. So here we go.
Turn to the world of He-Man and Attorney of the Masters of the Universe was inevitable. Nothing ever dies, kids.
Time after time, oh, you try God, to take scary this castle, but you will never there succeed, Skeletor.
Is he Skeletor?
Call your champion.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith, and today we're going to take a closer look at my new Netflix series, Masters of the Universe Revelation. This is one of the biggest selling toy lines of all time. That's predicated on affection for the property. So a bunch of kids
yes
who grew up watching
as
these
it
cartoons
was
now get a chance to re-engage with them. And so that was the reason to do it, man.
So
our version of
about
Masters of the Universe
toys
Revelation
should be
was
toys
meant to address all the characters and storylines from the old show
toys,
and bring it into the present so that if you were a kid back then, you know, every day after school watching the cartoon, it's almost like this is a continuation of that cartoon. We pick up kind of spiritually where He-Man and the Masters of the Universe left off. Like, so at the beginning of our first episode,
keyword,
it plays for the first 10 minutes like, you know, a slightly or way better animated version of the old show. It's very simple. Wow. We establish the relationships, and it's very warm and young feeling. And then about halfway through the show, we
it's when it's going to suck.
Something happens, and we kind of grow it up. And
yeah, but it's already way better animated.
Where we start by teeing yeah off from the old show, just picking up where they left off, gives it more dramatic thrust because these were characters that were just bathed in innocence. And in our story, that innocence gets lost along the way.
I'm wow, what a new idea.
Right,
innocence lost.
So the older one gets, the more one pines for the things
why
that
why is he even talking about
happy
this
in it's their weird youth. It makes you feel young when you can engage with
he likes
things
attention
that you engaged in.
Why
in
not
youth
just let us watch
so
it?
This
get
is
all this from
Netflix
the show
and Mattel Television's gift to the world, to a bunch of people, is like, remember how happy you were as a kid? Here's more, you know? So there's no good reason not to bring it back. When I was a kid, I'd watch He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
But hold on, I'm talking over.
When
hold
I was
on
a kid, I'd watch He-Man. So there's no good reason not to bring it back. When I was a kid, I'd watch He-Man and Masters of the Universe when I got home from school. From 1981 to 82, it was a ritual. When you're a kid who's going to school,
remember,
and
that
you know, I was 10, 11 years old, I was wearing a uniform. I had no control over my life whatsoever. You dream of like being in charge, having a little bit of a modicum of power. So watching He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, like, you know, the tagline, the most famous line from the show, one of the most famous lines of dialogue in pop culture history, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. That's something that as a kid, you're sitting there going, yeah, man, that's wish fulfillment. To be fair, I've always been a huge comic book fan, and He-Man what? And the Masters of the Universe, particularly the He-Man part of the Masters of the Universe, is predicated
what
on a
fuck
secret
is he even
identity
talking
it's
about,
very
dude
much Superman and Clark it's Kent. Prince Adam is Clark Kent. Superman is He-Man. It always appealed to me. So much so that when I got the call about meeting with Mattel, and they said He-Man, and instantly
you cannot
my
trust
eyes lit
a single
up
thing
I was
that he
like
says
all those toys that my parents wouldn't buy me, I can now play with in the form of this cartoon, like, and do this sprawling epic adventure. I don't normally make
so that's
things
why he wants to
like
ruin
this
it.
You know, I make things
he never got
hang
to play
out
with it as a
convenience
kid
stores and stuff like that, or where people get turned into walruses. for me, it was wish fulfillment as a kid watching He-Man take power. And as an adult, He-Man gave me the power, man, to do a kind of thing that I don't normally do. I love this type of programming. You know, I've loved comic books. I've loved animation. I've loved superhero movies forever. But, you know, I'm always the guy who's like, oh, I like to watch them. I would never make one of those. It is amazing to be surrounded by so much talent and so much love for this project. Revelation in the title, Masters of the Universe,
here
Revelation,
we go.
Refers to Teela's journey.
Some bullshit.
Teela finds out something about her that was hinted at in the old Legacy show. And that's a kernel that we blew out and really played with in this show. So the revelation in question really has to do with Teela. And that's because if you remember the old show,
so he's admitting, you know, right now that the whole show is going to
talk about only three others.
Just for there's everyone no keeping score home, it's not a He-Man
like
show
Sorceress,
at all.
Sorceress, Man at Arms, and Orko, as well as Cringer. Teela, who He-Man fought side by side, and Teela, who protected Adam when he wasn't He-Man, was always left out of that. She was kept in the dark, like Lois Lane. So our approach for the story was like, well, what happens if she finds out? What happens when she learns who He-Man really is? And what if she learned that not at him confessing it? It wasn't him going, you know what, I think you can handle this. It was by way of the adventure, of the epic. Something happens that kind of breaks everybody's
like He-Man disappearing and probably not being in most of the show.
Revealed. You know, when you're talking about Masters of the Universe, a big part of the franchise right there, the mysteries of Castle Grayskull, the secrets of Castle Grayskull. And secrets can have a damaging effect. That's what we kind of play
with
in our
story. They use the pronoun
Masters
twice.
Of the
that's
Universe
how
Revelation, honestly,
that's
is
how masculine the show was back in the
80s. Favorite things I've ever worked on.
But
what
just
was like, oh, that'll be fun, turned into one of the most satisfying creative experiences of my life. So much so that if they were like, you want to do season 2?
I cannot believe he would say this about any project that he's
involved. I don't think anything will ever be
as
satisfying
to
me as making Masters of the Universe Revelation has been for these last 2 years. Thanks for taking a look at Masters of the Universe.
Let's roll this back.
One of the most satisfying creative experiences of my life. So much so that if they were like, you want to do season 2? I might be nervous about doing it because I don't think anything will ever be as satisfying to me as making Masters of the Universe Revelation has been.
Look, I get that you got to promote your project and stuff like that that you're on, but he is one of the most disingenuous people. And I used to really like Kevin Smith, too. I love Mallrats. You know, I like Clerks and everything like that, but he has become just such a spineless, revolting little worm. And this is the guy that said he cried, wept. He wept watching Bill and Ted Face the Music. He posts, go down to his Instagram feed and see all the times that he says he's crying, all the times that he has supposedly cried, and, you know, go back to the change of positions that he's had about, like, the Star Wars prequels and stuff like that. So there's a reason why I get fired up about this, because if you remember in that video that I showed, he talked about, what did he talk about? How he watched He-Man Masters of the Universe. He watched it religiously. It was tradition for him, right?
Yeah.
This is courtesy of RK.
All the time as a kid, dude.
Yes. This is courtesy of RK Outpost and Nerdrotic. This is from Kevin Smith in, I believe, was this January of the... I'm not sure what year this was, but he says, I wasn't a He-Man fan, but Gallery 1988 is running an awesome Masters of the Universe art show. Look, and then there's a link. I wasn't a He-Man fan. So he's already a fucking liar as he's in this video talking about what a He-Man fan and how what wish fulfillment it was for him and the I have the power kind of thing and how powerful that was for him as a kid. He's such a disingenuous windbag. Okay, and here we go. This comes from Clownfish TV.
Good pull, windbag.
Clownfish said this: my understanding of Kevin Smith's He-Man series from an alleged insider, Teela is a better He-Man than Adam, and he steps aside to let her and her girlfriend take over hero duties. If true, ... this won't play well. Kevin Smith responded, as a showrunner, or as showrunner, I really could have used these story suggestions before we locked the scripts. However, no, He-Man does no stepping aside, and Teela has no girlfriend in our show. The storyline is pretty dark and way metal. Before Revolution, we were calling it End of the Universe. First of all, way metal. Go fuck yourself, Kevin Smith. And, you know, I don't care if Teela has a girlfriend or whatever, but the part of this that I think is pretty obvious is that Teela is a better He-Man and, you know, he steps aside for her. I don't think he does it willingly. I think he probably gets captured and written out of the show in the very early going. He was talking about all in that video about how this show is going to center around Teela. And yeah. A Teela show would be fine, but call it Teela. You know, don't
Teela
don't,
tequila, maybe.
Don't bait and switch here and act like that, you know, we're going to have to act like it's all hunky-dory and this is what we wanted. It's not what we wanted. Another one, he responded to Screen Rant, a, you know, decently reputable publication online. With all due respect to Screen Rant, I've read every Masters of the Universe script for our show, plus wrote a few and viewed four amazing animatics. While Teela is as present as she's always been in the Masters of the Universe adventure, and she plays a big role, our series is literally about He-Man. Yeah, about him, but I, again, probably does not involve him very much. And he is betrayed by the own synopsis for the show. The war for Eternia culminates in Masters of the Universe Revelation, an innovative and action-packed animated series that picks up where the iconic characters left off decades ago. After a cataclysmic battle between He-Man and Skeletor, where He-Man probably gets captured and defeated, Eternia is fractured, and the Guardians of Grayskull are scattered. And after decades of secrets tore them apart, it's up to Teela to reunite the broken band of heroes and solve the mystery of the missing Sword of Power in a race against time to restore Eternia and prevent the end of the universe. Fine. Not a He-Man show.
He keeps lying about it. But
yes,
then,
that's the whole thing. He's a fucking liar.
But the reality is, like, the show will come out, and then everyone will watch it, and then everyone will see that you're lying about what the show is about.
But he's just going to keep on lying.
It's probably better to just tell the truth, because as soon as the show comes out and everyone realizes that you're a fraud, no one's going to listen to you again. Well, actually, all your Mark fans will, because, and I don't mean Mark Truex, although Mark Truex is a Mark.
You mean like a Mark?
Yeah, like a Mark.
I think a Marky Mark.
A Mark Truex.
A greenhorn.
Yeah. Yeah, but essentially. But essentially, like, at this point, if you are a Kevin Smith fan on that level, like, he's appealing to, like, the lowest intellect of person to begin with anyway. So it's like, he can just bold face lie to you, and those people might watch the show and still be like, yeah, he was right.
I have no...
It's not about Teela.
I have no issue. Like...
Yeah.
I loved the Masters Universe action figures and stuff growing up, Teela included. And this is not about Teela, and I don't want this to become something that it's not. But it's the idea that he's lying, and it's the idea that he does this whole video talking about how they want to pay off and deliver a continuation of the series and things that the fan and the fandom loved so much about He-Man and Masters of the Universe. Breaking news. He-Man is the star of the fucking show, and if he's not, that's not a He-Man Masters of the Universe show that the fans are interested in seeing continued
right,
on with.
Just name it She-Woman. If
no,
it's
you
her.
Just make a Teela show. It's
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Make another show. Call it She-Woman. If
no,
you
just
like,
call it Teela. It
doesn't
need to be done like anything like that.
She.
It'd just be Teela, but just be honest with your audience.
As somebody naive to the storyline.
Yes, and Davis, you watched the trailer, and your reaction was very honest. Yeah, you were very hyped, as we all
hyped.
Were. And the first thing you said was...
Well, I don't know anything about He-Man, and now I want to watch it, because the trailer was very well done, and the music was great, but I don't know who this is about, and that's fine, but cause you guys are saying this is a He-Man show, but it's still called Masters of the Universe, right? To my understanding, Masters of the Universe is about a group of characters.
it's starring He-Man.
He-Man. But if you title it Masters of the Universe, that was one show that did star He-Man. Masters is plural of the universe. Now, is this just a new Master of the Universe?
No, that's dumb. Come on, Davis.
Are you really going to
be defending Kevin Smith and his lies right
I
now?
I am not. I am not defending Kevin Smith. I will say that. He is a liar. He's a piece of shit.
The show is He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Was the name of the show.
If that's the title of this show, that's fine.
What did he say, Davis? He said it was a continuation off of where the 80s show left off.
But what is this show called?
Revelation.
Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Because they're revealing that it was actually Tila the whole time.
He wasted 6 minutes of our time talking about how it was going to be this honoring of the source material and this continuation of the 80s show.
James, you just don't get it, okay? The revelation is that women are just as awesome as men.
Dude,
okay?
That's the
fucking revelation here. I don't know, like, how much do we need to spell this out for you, dude? Women can be action stars.
That's the whole thing. That's what people don't get, is that Tila was great in the original show.
But that's what this is. Awesome. That's what this is.
But, okay. No, it's not. This is a bastardization of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Exactly what we like. The caveat that we gave when we reacted to the trailer last week was like, trailer looks awesome. Kevin Smith is going to find some way to fuck this up, and he's telegraphing it and lying about it.
Yep.
Okay. The original show was called what, James?
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
What's this show called?
Masters of the Universe Revelation. Is Kevin Smith not sick? Kevin Smith, in his own words, said that the show is about He-Man. This is a He-Man. It should be a He-Man show,
but it's a revelation about He-Man.
But the first show was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I get where you're going with this, Davis. If you want to defend Kevin Smith, more power to you.
I'm not defending Kevin Smith. I'm defending the direction of the show.
And then when they took a closer look at the show, he spent all that time talking about how this is a faithful continuation on of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So, suckma.
I mean, as an outsider, I would say it's a faithful continuation. I wouldn't say that it's going that he should say it should focus on He-Man. I should say if he wants to say it focuses on the universe, the expanded universe of the Masters of the Universe. Great.
While Tila is as present as she's always been in the Masters of the Universe adventures, and she plays a big role, our series is literally all about He-Man. That remains to be seen.
And I'm with you. I don't trust Kevin Smith. He's a liar. He probably doesn't even like the series. He just wants to make some money.
He didn't watch it.
Right. And
this is a grown man that claimed to have wept after watching that abomination Bill and Ted Face the Music.
But that trailer was so
high. The trailer was freaking awesome.
So good.
It was.
And that's why I'm defending it, because I'm so jacked after watching that before we started. because I can see, like,
listen, man, and this
where
is,
they went.
Just to hammer home. No, fuck all that, dude. Like, I'm so tight. This has nothing to do. This is about this stupid Rian Johnson subverting expectations bullshit all over again. Like, I love Man at Arms. He was probably my favorite Masters of the Universe character. But if you give me a Masters of the Universe show, and I'm expecting it in it as it should be because it's He-Man's world and Man at Arms just lives in it, I'm expecting Man at Arms to be the, you know, whatever supporting role he's going to be in. If all of a sudden he's the star of the show, that's a fucking bullshit bait and switch. You give me Thundercats. It's not Lion-O and Thundercats. It's called Thundercats. But Lion-O's the star of the show. Tigra's my favorite Thundercat. If all of a sudden he replaces Lion-O, a lot of fans are going to be pissed, and rightfully so.
But the first show was called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yes, that's just what they named it, Davis. You're so splitting hairs here for reasons to defend Kevin Smith. I do not know why.
I'm not defending Kevin Smith. I'm defending the direction of the show.
The direction of the show, which he has said is supposed to be continuation.
I'm not defending his comments.
A continuation of the 80s series.
Which sounds correct.
It does not sound correct at all. You are being a real son of a bitch.
It sounds like the characters are still there, and it's going to focus on a different,
like, form,
a different master of the universe.
It's okay. I mean, ask me how many Highlanders are in Highlander again, you fuck.
I think there's five.
God.
I think there's five. From when I watched the movie.
This is getting stuck on a weird, like, semantic point.
Yes, exactly.
This is somebody that doesn't know about it.
I'll give Davis credit. He has found the one semantic loophole that I feel like that they're going to try. Congrats, Davis. You've given them their hill that they're going to die on. Doesn't change the fact that Kevin Smith is lying. I wasn't a He-Man fan. And then here he is saying he watched it religiously. How much wish fulfillment it was.
Let me ask you this, James. What do you think is going to take place in this show now? Now that this information is out there, what do you think?
I feel like He-Man probably gets taken off the board at the end of the first episode, and then the rest of the series is about. They say it. They say it in the synopsis. That they're looking for, you know, the Sword of Power and a race against time to restore Eternia and prevent the end of the universe. Cataclysmic battle between He-Man and Skeletor. That is where He-Man gets taken off the board. Eternia is fractured and the Guardians of Grayskull are scattered. And after decades of secrets tore them apart, it's up to Teela to reunite the broken band of heroes and solve the mystery of the missing Sword of Power and race against time. So metal, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's the revelation, is that women are...
Yes, the revelation is... Part of it is that she realizes who He-Man was and stuff like that. It's just, again, it doesn't... What it comes down to, it's more of that subverting expectations bull. It's taking Luke Skywalker and shitting on him all over again. I'm so tired of it. And he starts out talking about, why wouldn't fans want us to come back into something that you loved as a child and then just ruin it? Like, that's what bothers me.
What if they stay true to the He-Man character, though?
Davis, I will come on here and I will eat crow. If it's great, I will say it's great. But I do not trust Kevin Smith. He's lying left and right in that video and online already about it. So I have no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No, and I don't think you should. I think what we should do is we see the trailer, we get hyped. It's good animation. It's good. They clearly know how to get you pumped for a trailer. And so... I have decent
the power.
I have a decent feeling about Joe, and I think that's what they needed to do. And Kevin Smith didn't need to say a word. That's the thing. He didn't need to say a word. And
I cannot support a continuation of a He-Man show that isn't starring He-Man. You know?
Well, you know, that's good because He-Man's not in the title, so you don't have to worry about that.
You're an idiot, Davis. All right, you're a complete fucking rube. Let's move on. E3 happened. Davis, what'd you like? What are your thoughts?
Are you sure you want to hear from me, James?
I am. I love you, you fucking son of a bitch.
Two big things came out of E3 for me, and they both were Switch-related. And
you know, talk about a Switch.
Can we just say E3 overall was fairly boring? Like a lot of publishers are just moving away from E3 altogether as a platform for announcing big game updates and big game announcements. So
that's pretty consistent with the convention and the shows in general. It's just you know, there's other platforms for it that get more attention. It makes sense.
Yep. And conventions are just losing power at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just it's a in-person experience at that point, and it's not going to have as much weight because of how much everybody else in the world can see it so quickly.
Yeah.
So, but that said, E3, couple awesome things for the Switch, I thought. One more so than the other, Metroid, the new Metroid 2D game that Switch is releasing, I think looks fantastic. It's definitely borrowing from a lot of different 2D platforms right now, and it's not like incredibly original, because there's been so much work on the indie 2D front that they're just kind of borrowing and then kind of implanting it into the Metroid universe. But that said, Metroid's a great character, and there's a lot of good stuff there. And the trailer that they had was very intriguing. It was action-packed, and a lot of it that they showed was actually kind of like run and strategize how you're going to figure it out because you're overpowered, which is different from the Metroid universe. So that was cool. It's kind of brought you into a different element in that world. So the one caveat to this is it's on the Switch, and for a big platform game like that, it's risky, because if it doesn't sell, they won't do this again. Like, they will not put a major franchise in that position again to fail. They're testing it with Metroid. If it does well, they'll keep going with something else. But if this game does not sell, it's gonna stay indie, and keep going that way.
Well, conversely, if it does do really well, though, I mean, that would be
that's huge, and that'd be great for the industry, I think, because then I think it just opens up a lot of different. There's a lot of different boxes that different genres can check, and it just kind of gives more leeway to like the big games kind of having more options of how they can portray their franchises, and that's cool to me. But it's gonna have to sell a lot, and for a 2D platform game like that, I don't have high hopes. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's not a super popular genre right now.
No. But I thought it was really cool to see. And then the other thing, Jeff's gonna love this, but Breath of the Wild 2 got the trailer, the little teaser got released.
Now, where's that rank in comparison to the Starfield teaser?
I mean, it was definitely more hype.
I would definitely put it above.
I mean, yeah. If you're gonna put a Starfield trailer out there, and the only thing you're gonna show me is an empty, barren planet.
And a sandwich.
Yeah. I saw they're eating a turkey and cheese sandwich on a dry white bread. They got Wonder Bread. That's what they're working with. So
I love Breath of the Wild. I know Jeff is gonna call me a bunch of names for that in a private Discord chat. I really enjoyed Breath of the Wild. I'm definitely,
by the way, bestamnerdshow.com/Discord.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's discuss.
All you Kevin Smith stands can come find me there.
Dude, the thing is, like, this E3, there were no, I feel like there, aside from Nintendo, no one really used it as a platform to, like, really show anything crazy, but there are a lot of really good games to look forward to this year. Like, Back 4 Blood, which we talked about Left 4 Dead earlier, Back 4 Blood is, like, the spiritual successor to it, made by the same guys who did...
Is that the vampire one?
No, it's going to be basically Left 4 Dead, but like on modern,
okay,
on modern graphics. Soccer 2, Halo Infinite was shown a little bit, although I'm not super optimistic about that.
Redfall is the vampire sort of styled Left 4 Dead that they showed some stuff at E3.
Age of Empires 4 footage was shown.
I think Mark will be hype about that.
That's going to be a fun one. I know Tim hasn't been on the podcast recently, but he'll enjoy that one. Again, Starfield. And let's see, Forza Horizon 5. I don't know if you... Mm-hmm. Davis, do you like racing games? Did you play Forza Horizon?
No, I stopped pretty early on Gran Turismo.
Dude, Forza Horizon, like, if you're going to play any racing game and you're not into, like, the hardcore Sims where you have to, like, balance your fucking tires and change your oil and shit, like, Forza Horizon is actually an extremely, extremely fun game, so I'm excited for that one. There's a lot to look forward to this year. Oh, Icarus, of course, is a great sci-fi game that's going to come out. But again, E3 itself wasn't a revelation, as mm-hmm. some would say, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of shows and conventions are getting on are jumping on the train.
I'm so in my own head about it still. Anyway.
You're
still
pissed. You're stewing, dude.
I mean, it wasn't the He-Man title, so.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at everything. This is just the latest thing in like a build up of. Anyway, just, continue on, James. We're talking E3 here.
Nerd show and what James is mad at this week.
You know what? I'm not even going to hide from you know anymore. I do like things, but if I have to be the one, the only one that is going to tell all of you in the Nerdosphere why stuff stinks and why it was better before, then you know what? That's my cross to bear. If I am playing Skyrim and Mass Effect for the rest of my days because that's when video games were good, then so be it. The best days of the MCU are behind it, and now they're coming. They're coming for Lord of the Rings. They're coming for our 80s cartoons. I told you when the Thundercats reboot was good, Lion-O was still involved. Continue, Davis.
But about Breath of the Wild, everything looks it's the same. It looks like it's the same landscape, except they just brought it up into the sky. Dude. I don't.
Maybe the third game will be underwater. That would be dope.
And maybe that's why they were able to make it quickly a little bit quicker because they could just like kind of be like, all right, well, we have this piece of land, so just take that from the earth and raise it about you know a mile into the sky, and then we can play off that.
As long as you have your glider, you're good.
I mean,
did you see anything about Elden Ring, Davis?
No.
James, you should check that game out. I'm sure
I heard a little bit about it.
Okay, yeah, you should definitely check that one out. It's like Gothic RPG coming out next year.
Yeah.
George R.R. Martin collaborated on it.
Yeah, that's what makes me not want to play it because I don't want to. Speaking of, dude. George, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah. Don't you have a book to write? Story?
No, he didn't care. He didn't care. You know what? Part of it is like he can do what he wants. He's just not beholden to us. But holy lord, man. This guy, he's like, he might run for office before he decides to pick on Game of Thrones again.
He just needs anything
like,
to.
He's collaborating on a prequel and he's doing this video game. Like what I've seen looks sick, and I like a good gothic RPG. But the fact that Martin, it's a Martin production, it's like, bro, you're just like thumbing your nose at us left and right. You are giving us the finger left and right.
He's going to die before the final book is released, and like the writers of the Game of Thrones show are going to have to like.
It's going
to
be like, I'll get to it eventually.
The show writers are going to have to go back and like finish the book series for him, which is going
to he'll probably be attached to the second season of Masters Universe Revelation.
Yeah.
I have this maintenance guy at work that he's my only maintenance guy. And
you bring an intimacy coordinator to the Netflix animation team for all the hardcore sex scenes in He-Man, the Masters Universe.
Yeah, dude.
And he will come in my office for an hour or two just to, like, kind of tangent off. I'm like, you are the George R.R. Martin of maintenance. And he'll even admit it. He's like, I'm in here because I just don't want to do what I'm supposed to do right now.
Yeah, I don't want
to
fix the door. It's like, dude, sir, that's your job, okay?
You
that's
just put
literally
things
why
on.
You're here.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus I hired Christ. You for a job.
Martin,
every time I sit on the toilet seat, it fucking flies off to the side.
King of procrastination, George R. R. Martin. And like I just don't think he wants to. I don't think he feels like he can give it a satisfying conclusion. And so
what motivation could he possibly have to finish that series?
He already
made millions on a show and the show is concluded. There's no reason to finish it.
Yeah.
Maybe he thinks he'll be more of a legend if he doesn't finish it. You know what could have been
like Tupac.
I think he's actually just
yeah. Tupac was big into high fantasy political drama.
Except,
forgot
except
about
too
that.
Many,
that was
too
actually
many...
what the whole East Coast West Coast rap scene was really about.
Except instead of getting shot, he just ate too many McDoubles. You know
oh
I mean?
My god, dude.
I think George R. R. Martin is just butthurt that somebody figured out where he was going very early on. And he was like, well, it's already done. I don't need to do this. So we're good here.
I don't think he cares about legacy at all. And I think he did what he was set out to do, which was write a couple things and then make a little bit of money. And now he's just good, man. He's just doing his thing.
Yeah. He's... Anyway, where are we at? Anybody got anything else to say about E3?
We're on E3. Now. Okay.
We're an hour in, 2 hours in.
But He-Man, though, you know.
Stay like Kevin Smith. That son of a bitch is gonna come at Thundercats, and I'm gonna be very pushed. Or Transformers that all of a sudden is like, you know. And I know the movie killed off Optimus Prime. I'm well aware of that, and I hated Hot Rod as a kid for that. Very fact, but yeah, man, I don't know where we're at right now. There's ruining everything. This is if you go all the way back to when we were talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, John, and how I didn't want to see these little kids with the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpacks because I knew the quality would suffer. And that's, you know, you're parachuting in anyway, but
you might need to go back and watch some of that stuff and check out that quality that you're talking about.
No, man. The theme songs were all we need. That's all we need.
Theme and songs need, and some
need I remind you that without the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, we would have no pizza parties in the United States of America. Before the Turtles, it was entirely an Italian product. Could barely find a pizzeria in the United States. Anyway.
Not without Mafia, at least.
It's like the height of Pizza Hut, but yeah.
Yeah, because of the Turtles, dude.
Pizza.
That's Little Caesars, bro. Not the Hut.
Little Caesars the goat.
Any other thoughts on E3 as I'm having a mild mental breakdown?
No, I mean, it's
cardiac arrest.
I don't think
synapses are firing in my brain like Mel Gibson's wife and Signs, and I'm just throwing things out there.
I think the bigger, I don't know, we could probably touch on this later, you know, during like a Comic-Con or, you know, some other con, but it's just I feel like the height of the con era is behind us. And I don't think
I agree with you, John. The height of all of it is behind us.
Yeah.
We are in the decline.
I don't
feel like Theoden. It's our fate that the last of these evil dark days should be ours.
Exactly. I don't think like big publishers of games or comic books or films or anything are looking at conventions like that. We need to hold off on releasing any information and make sure it all comes out there. I just don't think that's the case anymore. I think COVID ended what was already on its way out the door, and E3 this year just shows what a depressing state that is, because all the publishers want to control their own announcements now. They all have their own platforms to do it.
However, I will say that Comic-Con is like known as like, hey, I need to pay attention this weekend. What is happening?
Yeah, but you've even seen DC fandom. Yeah, right. DC fandom, Marvel, yeah. Skipping it just for D23.
Yep.
I don't think it even can come close right now to that Not yet.
Right, but you're already seeing, like, even before COVID, you saw Marvel skip out on major Comic-Con announcements,
right,
because they have their own convention now. You see, yep. now what used to be Hall H exclusives, they time things around Comic-Con because they know people will be surfing the internet for stuff. So yep. Now they don't even try and hide it. They just shoot it out there. And
right.
we were all at Comic-Con at home. We all participated. Yep. That was awful. DC fandom, I mean, we had fun together, don't get me wrong, but DC fandom killed them. They were great. Yeah.
And the same thing happens at E3. I mean, EA Play, they literally do their own convention, you know, in a week in proximity of E3 in the same city, so that people can just not go to E3 and engage EA totally separately. And it just speaks to these big publishers just want to own their, I mean, BlizzCon, they own their own convention and deal, so I think other publishers are moving in that direction.
It's
too.
Similar to the streaming service route.
Yeah,
it's like we're just gonna do our own whole thing about that.
I mean, but honestly, if you're like a big conglomerate game publisher or comic book studio, why not do your own? Like, you have enough titles, you have a big enough fan base, you have enough as long as you're releasing enough content, you'll have enough to program the convention, and then you can just sell the whole weekend and not worry about any of your competitors like upstaging you or outspending you or whatever. It's your weekend. It's depressing.
I mean, John, you're speaking my language though with the whole like the best depression. Days are behind us. we are in the great decline, Nerdosphere. Yeah. Let if you are hearing my voice, things are getting worse.
And board games are coming back.
I wish I could tell you differently.
They're gonna unearth.
I feel
this,
like Denethor, flee for your lives.
They're gonna unearth this recording.
Go
and
be nerdy in whatever way seems best to you.
They're gonna unearth this recording in like 50 years, and like nerd culture is completely dead. everything's just super serious and modern and like not fun at all. And they're gonna be like, wow, this guy was really onto something.
Yeah, they're just
too bad he died. He died penniless and in complete obscurity.
Yeah, I mean that'll happen either way, whether I'm right or wrong about what's going on.
Playing Emily is away 22.
That's just a given.
James is he's like just a crazy old man screaming into the wind. People are like, I don't know what he's saying. Sometimes he says stuff that's like pretty genius, but
where are you, Emily?
He just keeps thinking about cartoons that were made 77 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to belabor the point because I've already like hit my red line on my negative quota for this week's episode. But this Lord of the Rings anime prequel with the Rohirrim, which, by the way, King Theoden, my favorite Lord of the Rings character, and I love the people of the Riddermark, the writers of Rohan, sounds awful. And it just, as I have been saying, they are coming piece by piece by piece for things that were once good, and they're coming to just water them down, co-opt them, pervert them, and make them not just lesser quality. A prequel anime for Lord of the Rings? First of all, I doubt it's this is them sneakily trying to get their foot in the door with anime as well, which is, now that Lord of the Rings is toppling, the last bastion of good quality nerdy entertainment. That's all I really have to say
about
that.
They're coming for everything that you love,
just
man.
Circle the wagons. I mean, it's too late.
What?
Pretty much.
What specifically
we get a Hail Mary. We need a Commander Shepard to take down these Hollywood Reapers and take the power back and stop the destruction of all these fandoms and properties that we love.
What bothers you about them doing an anime related to Lord of the Rings?
It's a prequel based on no substance. There are, I think even in the description of it, it's like that Tolkien talked about certain things in the appendices, but there's no like structured story for them to go off of, which I don't know about you. I don't trust those people in Hollywood to invent their own story that would be true to Tolkien's vision in an anime prequel that has just no business being made. Look, Peter Jackson, who earned so much plaudits and rightfully so for the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Best known for The Hobbit and The Hobbit Part 2.
Meet the Feebles and The Hobbit Part 3. And I know it wasn't entirely his fault, but it was a cash grab by the studio and company to turn that into a three-part movie. You know, there's a bad track record for all of this. I have no confidence in anything right now. Yeah. That they're going to be taking something that doesn't have a story for them to follow and that it's going to be any good or true to the spirit of Tolkien. No faith, no confidence in it whatsoever. And Tolkien is one of those sacred things that for a while has been left relatively unspoiled, and it's they are at the gates, and it's unfortunate.
What if they get the Cowboy Bebop team to do it?
No, thank you.
The Cowboy Beep Boop team.
Oh, you mean
dude?
The Cowboy Bebop team from the anime itself?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't need to be done. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I love the Cowboy Bebop anime, but it's the whole, it's Ian Malcolm. You didn't stop to think about whether or not you should.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said. I think I said it, like, last podcast episode, which is, like, can we just do new shit?
Yes,
why do we got to keep revisiting the same stuff over and over and over and over and over? Yes, we know Lord of the Rings, that those books
those specific books that have already had a film trilogy, we know those are good books. We know that's good material. If you want to remake those movies, that's one thing. But just adding on to the world that you didn't create, that you just have rights to at this point, like, that's not really helping anyone. There's enough talent to create new worlds and give us new original content and worlds and move things forward and not just rehashing the same bullshit over and over and over and over and over and over to infinity until we have 97 different Batman movies. We've remade all the Lord of the Rings movies a million times, plus gotten all these extra weird shows and you know, auxiliary projects around the you know, around it. Same with Marvel. Like, it, can we just do something new for once?
And I guess that's the crux of a lot of what I'm saying. And when I get sort of a loss for words to describe what they're doing, it is that just that rehashing and watering down that is a diminishing returns and a diminishing of the property itself that is so just rife throughout Hollywood. The lack of originality, all of it. It's just, it is unfortunate.
It goes back. Look,
nothing. Is there nothing sacred?
Can we, like, I'll give you this, because I give you a very hard time about, and you know, I apologize for going too hard sometimes, but I do give you a hard time for being stuck in the past, too nostalgic at times. But I do think we agree that it would be better a lot of times to try new stuff, give us new worlds, or adapt new books that have not been made into film franchises yet, or just find something new rather than rehashing these worlds that we already know and love. Like,
and the other thing, if you're going to trade on that nostalgia, then give me that nostalgia. I have no interest in you fanfic writers out there and your take on something. And your take on what Aragorn might have been like, you know, like, but the what if Aragorn was this way? What if Boromir was that way? I do not care. I have zero interest in that. And most of the fans don't either. We don't want to see it. I don't want Rian Johnson to say, hey, what if Luke Skywalker was just an asshole? What is that? All right.
He had a hard life, dude.
No, he didn't.
His dad, he had a deadbeat dad.
Grant you, he had some issues,
and then tried to kill him. Yeah. Like
the ultimate optimist that turned the world, you know, the universe's the galaxy's greatest villain, and saw good in him to be redeemed. But you know, his nephew had a bad dream, so he decided to kill him. Yeah, that makes sense. Rian Johnson, you hack. I liked Knives Out though. I call him like I see him.
Yeah, I'm. Look, man. I troll, I give you a hard time, but ultimately, like, I went off last week about Warner Brothers and the just continual rebooting of Batman, and someone on our YouTube channel commented explaining that this is like an Earth 2 Batman and we're already in the multiverse and some bullshit that I don't want to hear about is happening, but like, can we just move forward? Every now and then, can we just move forward? Like, you made your choices. Ben Affleck is Batman. You know what I mean? Like the Lord of the Rings movies that were made, those have been made. Let's move forward at this point.
There was a YouTube commenter about the Lord of the Rings one talking about all the nudity in Lord of the Rings. Like, Frodo wakes up and is nude, and, like, Gandalf was nude at this point. That alone would call for an intimacy coordinator. No, it wouldn't. Shut the fuck up. Like, the reason why they bring an intimacy coordinator on there is for their damn sex scenes and their lewd nudes. There's a stark difference between why they would bring an intimacy coordinator on. And first of all, that's not intrinsic to the story or the themes of Lord of the Rings, sir.
Yeah. It's just like, because they need to coordinate like an elf and a dwarf getting it on, right?
Eventually, I'm sure.
I mean, that
will be more awkward, but we do.
That's why you have to coordinate. It's hard.
We do want to see a human and elf get it on, preferably elf.
No,
female.
No. We'll get Aragorn and Arwen just hardcore. All right, but
it's just a 90-minute Pornhub documentary.
Gratuitous sex and some of our favorite characters, and this is what we'll end this segment on. Hopefully, we'll talk about Loki eventually. But this HBO Max show, this Harley Quinn show, apparently had to have one of its more racy scenes nixed from it, which is where Batman performs oral sex on Catwoman. And according to Justin Halpern, the exec said they were like, no, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down on someone. Heroes don't do that. So you heard it from the good folks at HBO Max and Warner Brothers. Next time I'm lucky enough to be in that situation and I get asked that question, I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm a hero.
Heroes don't do that. She does her thing and then she's like, What do you think? Do you mind? You're like, heroes don't do that.
Yeah, Batman could lose his voice, dude. It's dangerous down there.
It's so foul, dude. It's so foul.
I don't do that is such a great quote, though.
I just figured that's how Batman got his voice.
he's all tongue-tied, tired out, man.
Do they mean, like, heroes, like, romance has no place in heroes?
Wasn't there an episode of The Sopranos where they were talking about how, you know, women. Like, Italian men didn't want to do that, you know, like, not manly or something like that? Is this, like, the last best? Like, are The Sopranos, they're not writing horror films, but they're writing this Harley Quinn show?
Totally,
no,
dude.
I'd never do
totally.
That.
It's emasculating.
This city needs me.
I can't do that. I gotta go.
It's fucking disgusting.
I struggle to. I'm trying to like put myself in the position where I understand their logic because like we have plenty of examples of heroes finding themselves in romantic situations, right?
Cunnilingus is like gravity; just takes a little push.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Jesus. Davis! You're watching this show. Where would that scene have fit in?
I just started watching this show for a recommendation.
Well, prepare
from
to be disappointed. There will be no Batman going down on Catwoman.
And I will say, great show. It's very funny, and was not expecting a lot of it. They definitely take liberties with a lot of characters, and you just have to kind of buy into it.
No thanks. I'm done with that. I'm not Bane into their life anymore, Davis.
Bane, Clayface, and Jim Gordon are pretty great characters.
Why? You say that with a smirk. Why? How'd they change them?
They really dive into Bane's like Batman 3 voice in the new series and kind of just play off that. Mostly about how he just wants to blow everything up. Clayface is like
sounds awful.
Is an actor, and that's why he changes into characters. And
yeah, that's they did that in Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. So he's like yeah. So they keep going off that. Jim Gordon is just completely distraught from his marriage and just in shambles.
Sounds like all the same problems James had with Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a show that I want to watch. Dude.
Too much real life creep.
It is funny. Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy together are actually pretty funny.
Is there a scene where Maxie Zeus is upset because like the hotel workers have gone on strike or something like that?
No.
Somebody has to build a boat. Gets denied a bank loan.
No. I mean, it's definitely more racy and just it's an adult cartoon and it's funny to see these characters finally like kind of in like a more realistic version of like a superhero world because they're
I'm just because glad they can that actually they clarified, act like that. I mean the heroes don't do that so yeah. You know they've given us all an out, ladies and gentlemen. I guess so. Heroes don't do that.
No, hey.
I am using that
male
next
heroes,
time.
Male heroes don't do that.
Your Uber's here.
Lady or men, just let them know heroes don't do that.
Yeah.
Say it out loud, say it proud.
Say it loud, say it proud. Heroes don't do that. All right, we're going to take one more break. On the other side, we'll be talking some different kind of mischief. Episode 2 of the Disney Plus series Loki on the Best Damn Nerd Show.
It's me, Iron Iron Nerd Min-Maxer, Hanzo Gonzo, inviting you into kitchen... the Tenno Media Arena to see whose nerdiness will reign supreme. We're gonna get sued if you. Will triumph a lotly. Come check out all the battles on the Tenno Media Network Patreon, or you can just skip to the parts where Steve physically breaks something for no reason. See you there.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here, of course, formerly the Jedi Master, and we are so happy to be back delivering to you the nerdy content that you need to make it through your Muggle work week. And we want to hear from you, Nerdosphere, so be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Zunes, or other non-name brand MP3 playing devices everywhere, or however you consume your weekly interval. Whether you agree with me that The Last Jedi was a crime against Star Wars, or that you think that my hosting warrants being mauled by a bear, leave us a 5-star review, make us laugh, smile, or cry in that review, and there is a good chance that you will hear it read on a future episode of the Best Damn Nerd Show. So be sure to rate and review us. It's the best way that you can help the BDNS keep saying it loud and proud for years to come. And welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James alongside John and Chris Davis, or just Davis, whatever, as we are winding things down here. And that was a wild, you know, last segment, but here we are.
It really got away from us.
It really did. But let's reset, Nerdosphere. Ready to bring you back in. And let's talk about something a little bit more tangible. We're not talking about what heroes do. We're talking about what villains do. We're talking about the Disney Plus series Loki. So no wonder all those female MCU fans just love Loki and Tom Hiddleston, because he's not a hero. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's talk episode 2 of the Disney Plus series Loki. But Davis, you requested a little bit of a primer for what we thought about episode 1. And overall, I think the standout in the positive realm from episode 1, and John, I think you would agree, is the performances of Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson. Their chemistry together is good. I think the overall aesthetic of the show is good. The sort of Mad Men, Hitchhiker's Guide type aesthetic we liked.
Yes.
Overall, though, incredibly slow. Not a ton happened. I think it was kind of boring at times. It was overly silly at other times. I don't think they did Loki any favors and sort of undermined his overall power level. His overall equity that he'd built up over several movies was heavily and heavy-handedly undermined in the first episode of this series. So I was
should have been about half as long. I think.
Yeah, I was overall disappointed that they should have included more stuff and shortened some other scenes. I didn't like how they treated the Infinity Stones and sort of just made light of all these other sort of major things to service this new entity of the TVA and everything like that. What did you think of the first episode, Davis?
I think y'all are bitches.
Oh, man, you and me gonna go round and round.
I really enjoyed the first episode. I do understand what you're saying about knocking like the Infinity Stones down, but
dude, that little like that asshat little secretary dude had no business being in the show. What a stupid ass character!
I you have to have characters like that.
Yeah, does the whole show have to be like that, then?
The whole episode was about the DMV, whatever thing that he was at. Like,
great! I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It's so corny, though. Like, the whole time, it's just jokes about like how this place is bureaucratic.
It's world building.
I appreciate the world building that they were trying to do. World. And I know some people have maligned and criticized the cartoon that they showed and stuff like that to explain things. I actually didn't mind the visual aid of the sacred timeline and everything like that.
It was Jurassic Park 1.
It was.
All over
it was.
Again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no, it was not, though. It
well,
was
that
not
part
because,
was.
Sure,
the part with the video.
One
yeah, that one
part.
Segment. Yes,
no,
yes.
That's
absolutely.
All I'm saying.
But to say, Davis said world building, which is complete bullshit. They didn't build a world. They built like two rooms at the DMV.
It's a company building, you know, episode.
Jeez, dude. They couldn't give us anything more?
I don't think, I never felt like it was slow. Like, I was like in the episode. I wanted to know more about the TVA.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to know more about the Time Lords. And I was just looking for other stuff because, you know, like with the MCU, there's going to be other little trinkets going on, other little teasers, Easter eggs. Yeah. And you're just constantly looking for these things, especially in a show like this where, you know, stuff is like going to drop like that. So
the one thing that MCU fans aren't looking for is a good story, though, apparently. They're so caught up with the Easter eggs and everything like that that they lose
sight
of them.
I've been saying this for like the last 7 years about Marvel movies to the point where I stopped watching them and everyone got mad at me for saying this kind of shit. But this was my
entire. We got mad at you for saying The Mandalorian didn't have a story, John.
I said
which
about
it
the
did.
I said about the Avengers as
no,
well.
No, what you said about the Avengers, you said Captain America was just as selfish as Iron Man, and I'm still mad at you about it today. Not like I hold grudges or anything, and like thought to myself about that moment every night that I've gone to sleep since you said it, but whatever.
This has much more of a story than Mandalorian at the moment.
True.
Disagree. But
that is true.
I'm just saying that, you know, what you're talking about with, oh, they're looking for the Easter eggs and stuff like that. Why are we more concerned with that than with an entertaining show?
I'm not.
But
like it's still entertaining because
Marvel fans.
It is. And then you throw in Loki and Owen Wilson's relationship. You have some other, you know, characters that they are what they are, but
they suck.
I think they
all the other characters suck.
So I disagree with the choice of words that James used. I don't think it was slow. I just think it was devoid of meaningful story. So, like, yes, are there enough gags and little moments to fill a 45-minute episode? Yeah, like, things happen, right? But those things that are happening are complete bullshit, so they don't matter at all.
I'm
happy that Davis is on here to offer a differing perspective too, so I'm going to shut up a little bit because I know I've been running hot. So Davis, tell me what you liked.
But yeah. What didn't you guys like? Like what isn't a part? Like what doesn't add to the story?
I didn't like how the overall treatment of the character of Loki, and there was too much silliness. There was too much undermining of the already pre-established world, like that they do in so many MCU properties, especially recently, that they feel like the need to get over the new story that they want to tell is by tearing down what they had before. So, case in point, the Infinity Stones being paperweights in the guy's drawer. That was the last most earth-shattering thing that we had to face. Now to show the gravity of what we're dealing with now is, oh, wow, these are paperweights. That doesn't even matter anymore. Funny, ha-ha, and also this is way bigger than that.
But how do you move on from the Infinity Stones?
You didn't need them at all.
No, I meant just as an audience, you've seen these.
Yeah, we dealt with
them. And now why do you take anything else seriously if it's not bigger than that?
Because not everything is, like, just because it's not the Infinity Stones doesn't mean something can't be a threat or serious.
No,
you know, the fact that, like,
no, but if you immediately trivialize the world you're building by just
making jokes at the world's expense and making it look like a trip to the DMV, then of course it looks small compared to the Infinity Stones. And then within that trivializing of the world that they're in, you have to trivialize the Infinity Stones. Like, how stupid does it make the Infinity Stones look that in this stupid world that we're creating, those are stupid? So everything you watched leading up to this point is just completely thrown out the window. It's weird.
I do want to get back to what you really like, though, Davis. Like, no trolling, and no, like, no. I said, I'm gonna dial back, because I do think a lot of people did really like it. So what did you enjoy, and then we can launch into episode two.
No, I enjoy definitely the, and I'm not a big Owen Wilson fan, but I do enjoy the relationship between the two, him pushing his character to figure out who he is. I did like a lot of that dialogue that they had, and that continued into episode two. And I, especially for the Loki of the timeline that they took from, you know, Avengers 1 movie, like, that's the Loki we're getting. Like, from, so you have to take that into effect, is like, this character, this particular Loki is coming from, you know, phase one Marvel, and so it's very different from phase three Loki, where he is killed by Thanos. And so there's a very difference of those characters, and that's why I think he acts a certain way, and I think it makes a lot of sense of kind of where he's coming from.
I don't agree that he acts consistent with the way that he acted in the lead up to the Avengers, though. The Loki in the lead up to the Avengers was much more malevolent and serious than the Loki that we're getting in this show. It's not the same. It's more akin to the Loki that got killed by Thanos. And yeah. Look, I like Tom Hiddleston as Loki. He is charming as all hell. And I love the whole shrug of the shoulders. I'd never do it again. Like, that. Right. I enjoy that. There, like, I am not so hard of stone that I cannot enjoy some of the sort of the silliness of this stuff. But it's when it gets to a saturation level. But I think overall, I think the agreement is, the consensus is that we like Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston, though. Which is good. Those are your two leads, so that's and generally a good thing.
And that's a good story. I do like the judge. I will say, whoever that is, I forget her name, and I know she has a little bit bigger role in the comics that I'm just not aware of because I didn't read. I know she was in 80s Thor comics and a few of the other TVA stuff, but her origination was not. I know. I think it was in the Kang the Conqueror story arcs, but I don't mind her as much. But you know, a lot of the other characters are, you know, you can just kind of toss and throw a little bit.
I think that I know I'm sort of beating a dead horse here, but if they tuned up the seriousness of this show, I think it could be legitimately great, because. Not saying it's of the same quality, but if you had a more serious version of this show, then you have Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston on like a Marvel style True Detective whodunit type chase here. That's cool. That's fun. And I feel like they showed their hand a lot in the second episode already.
They can be silly in a serious world. But when you have those two being silly, and the world itself is kind of silly because of the fucking DMV setting, like, it's,
well, and I want to jump into the second episode, a part of that I actually really liked, that might maybe is a little bit surprising, but when Loki is going through the files and that little what is she anyway, that thing, that the little cartoon that he was talking to, that was almost like the Microsoft paperclip helper through the TVA. The clock. I actually really enjoyed that. It reminded me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was a small scene, but I do like the aesthetic, and there's things that really sort of hit within that. Again, that Mad Men, like Hitchhiker's Guide, and this episode, Who Framed Roger Rabbit type feel, that is cool, and it's different, and it's not inherently stupid. It's just certain characters make it feel that way. But I think the best parts of the show is the chase. It's the hunt. It's the whodunit aspect of it, right, Davis?
Yeah. No, it has the CSI feel to it. Like, you're trying to figure out clues, trying to figure out whodunit, you know, all that good stuff. And that's, I understand where you're coming from about wanting to make this more serious, because I do see that. But, you know, I do like the fun aspects, like the clock you're talking about. Like, I do kind of like the DMV stuff. I like that they're talking about fucking jet skis in the 90s. I enjoy that. And it's,
I missed the 90s too, so I didn't mind that.
Yeah,
things were better in the 90s.
You, for sure, on a nostalgia standpoint,
I identify
if it happened
with,
in the 90s, you were...
And again, this is a show that should be for me. As somebody that's obsessed with time travel and timelines and stuff like that, you'd think that this would be more up my alley.
And God, did I ever love where they were going back into, like, she was hiding in apocalypse zones. That was so cool to me. That was such a cool concept of, like, no, it doesn't matter that nothing's changing because everybody there dies. There's no proof of that. That's a cool concept. That was awesome to me. And I, you know, Pompeii, all the future climate change issues.
Was it a little concerning to you that there's an apocalyptic event in like 2050?
No, because I would think it would be sooner. So
no, but I mean, with the Avengers around to, you know, help everything and stuff like that, it's like, what happens in between? I mean, this is the sacred timeline.
If it's climate, can they control that?
I mean, Storm. What's she doing?
Greta Thunberg is the next Avenger.
Well, she doesn't need to be an Avenger. They're getting X-Men in there. Can't she
yeah,
help?
Probably kill them off.
What's she doing? Rescuing Mijnari? Come on.
They'll screw up the X-Men somehow. They always do.
Oh, absolutely. Again, best days are behind.
that part was cool. And I just, you know, there are a lot of concepts of the show where it's just fun. And I like what they're doing with it.
What did you think about the second episode specifically? You liked the apocalyptic stuff, I liked the chase.
It was
Loki
strong,
and Mobius getting working the case.
Stronger than the first. Loki is like trying to push the envelope with Mobius about like how he's gonna help, and I like that they don't make Mobius a dope. Like, he can kind of like read into it, and he can like read through Loki's bullshit a little bit. That's good. And you need that. You want to see Loki put in check a little bit.
I totally get what you're saying. When they go to the Ren Faire though, and Loki, it was just so hammy. His whole like expect the expected, cause that makes it unexpected kind of deal, was just so hokey. And poorly done, in my opinion, to where it's like, why did we even have this scene done that way? I don't know. I think some of the execution was lacking. I do think the second episode was better than the first, though.
Yeah,
I think more took place. We're starting to get on the chase. I think that they revealed too much with spoiler alert, everybody, with Lady Loki at the end of this episode. I don't know. Feels like I could have used a whole nother episode of them sort of working the case together.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting six episodes.
Yes. So they wasted episode one.
We're a third of the way through and we know who we're chasing now. And it was, and honestly, everybody knew after episode one, it was a female Loki. It was already like, it was obvious. So there was no, so, and I think they probably knew that. And so let's get out of the way. Let's get into what we need to. Let's go. And we'll find out a little bit more next week if that was the right choice or not. But
that's a fair point. I mean, it was pretty much expected. I think that the delivery of that was pretty poor. Like, look at Lady Loki in the comics. it compared to Lady Loki that they're giving us in this show. How underwhelming, in my opinion, was that? They, like, what? I was so disappointed. She sucks.
She's like Karen Loki.
Yeah, seriously. Why can't you give us the Loki from the Lady Loki from the comics, which by the way is a relatively new comic in convention as well. But if you're going to go that route for hashtag reasons, give us the one from the comics. That,
yeah, she's
you look
much
badass and
she's much
sexy
darker.
As hell.
She's dark. I mean, they're both sexy. Let's give them that. But
eh.
It's. Like she,
heroes don't do that.
She has a darker, sexier tone to her.
A more Loki vibe.
Yeah, and just like she just has just more of, yeah, like you're saying, it's just that vibe, that feeling. Of like this one feels like she's probably going to give you oranges after a soccer practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's got her Costco card holster.
Yeah, she's going to pull up in that minivan and she's ready to take you somewhere.
But we end the episode with Loki going through the little time portal with her, so we'll see where that goes. But again, I could have used another episode of Loki and Mobius building that bond of actually working together so that when he does sort of abandon him seemingly, that you feel the weight of it a bit more. And I get that they sort of wasted the whole first episode of them not doing that. Like, you could have included them going back to that Ren Faire in the first episode. You know, and I know they wanted to have the cliffhanger thing with Loki lighting him on fire or whatever, but I don't know. It's been oddly paced so far.
Yeah, you could have had one more, like, clue-building episode, I guess, of like, okay, she's hiding in the apocalyptic zones, and then there's B that she's doing. And, you know, like you said, just more relationship building between the two. But I don't know. Do you need that with Loki, who you know is going to betray him? Again, it's a character that you can you're already expecting these things. Like, is he actually going to get close to anybody? It doesn't make sense to me. So maybe you don't need that.
Yeah, I mean that's one argument. I still don't think that he's really overall acting like the Loki from the phase one of the MCU. So far, do you think this is where would you rank it as sort of the start to WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Oh man, that's a good question. Going off two episodes in on each of those series.
I mean, just overall, your overall feeling like about it right now. Trying to put as much recency bias aside is because I thought coming into this, I thought this one had the best chance to be something really cool. And it was what I won't say it was what I was most excited about because I love Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So like I was definitely more excited about that. That was just an absolute dumpster fire of a show. But I did think that this had a chance to be good, too, because, I mean, God, Tom Hiddleston, everybody loves Loki.
I had
higher expectations for this than I did for WandaVision, for sure. And I watched an episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, I had high expectations for this than I did for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
This one actually had the most hype for me of the three. I was most excited for this show. After Falcon Winter Soldier, I pretty much forgot this was coming out. Because I was just like, meh, all right. We're just releasing these shows now. I'll watch them as they come. But I will say that this is probably a short right after WandaVision for me. I'll put WandaVision first. I'll go with Loki second, then Falcon Winter Soldier. But I think it's very close with Wanda at this moment. And a far third for Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah, bury that thing. I do think that again, this has a chance to. I mean, we only have four episodes left, but episode two was better than episode one, so maybe episode three will be better than both of those. Sounds like I'm at the Star Wars prequels again. I was disappointed by the third episode. Any other parting shots about Loki episode 2, Davis, that you really enjoyed or, you know, that stood out to you? I'm glad that you agree with me about Lady Loki. God, what a disappointment. Give me the one from the comic books.
Yeah, that
it's
is
like Baroness in a Loki outfit. What's not to like?
She was underwhelming, to say the least. And I definitely was not expecting a blonde.
Just that, not I think that was just not menacing at all.
Like, who is this? It's like you're on Family Matters or what's
Growing Pains?
Yeah, I mean, you're on like an 80s sitcom mom show. You're just pouring juice boxes.
We're back in WandaVision again.
Who is this girl?
Yeah.
I hope they kind of pull like a, oh yeah, no, that was, I was just hiding in that body. This is the real female Loki.
Don't hold your breath.
I'm not.
I guess not. That's the other issue, though, is that Owen Wilson and Loki, I mean, they're the stars, but all the other side characters, I disagree with you. I don't think there's really much substance there with anybody else besides Loki and Mobius.
I don't think there's substance. I'm just saying I don't mind the judge. I think she has potential later on.
You heard it here first, ringing endorsement. I don't mind the judge. There it is, folks. As far as I'm concerned, my third favorite character on the show is that little animated clock. It's adorable. I would legitimately have that as a desk ornament. And that's probably going to be a Comic-Con exclusive at some point.
Oh,
so you guys better cut me in on that deal.
A little consclusive.
A little consclusive. That is going to do it for this very wild edition of the Best Damn Nerd Show. It may seem like I hate everything, but I love all of you in the nerdosphere. Have a great week, everyone. Remember, if you're a nerd, always say it loud and say it proud.
Hey, everyone. Chris Seglia, CEO of the 10O Media Network here. Thank you so much for listening to our content, but we need your help. Please rate us 5 stars, subscribe, and give us a shining review wherever you listen to this podcast. It really, really helps us out. And one more thing, please tell a friend if you can. Tell them Tasty Steve, Hanzo Gonzo, Mark Mann, Rip, Ricky Replay, or someone who everyone loves sent you or something. That might help. Anyway, again, thank you for listening. And if you want more, make sure to check us out at www.ten-o.gg. www.10o.gg.
You're listening to the 10O Media Network.